I am big. So listen, you know, I know that we serve a mighty God. And I mean, listen, the worship was great today. How many know that we serve an amazing God? We serve Jesus who is a healer. We serve Jesus who is a deliverer, right? We serve Jesus. We serve a God who is alive. We don't serve a statue. We don't serve Buddha or Muhammad, but we serve a God who is alive. So this morning, I'm asking you, church, to be alive this morning, okay? Don't be afraid to holler back at me and say amen and shout me down and wave your hanky if you got one, okay? And we're just going to do this thing and we're going to do it together. And I just know that God is going to move in this place today. If you came here today expecting something for Jesus, can I hear you say amen? I think we can do a little bit better than that if we're expecting something from Jesus, right? Amen. Let me hear somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, we're in this series, Love Your City. It's a great opportunity to wear a t-shirt to church, right? And so I love it. But listen, we're going to talk about something probably we wouldn't normally hear in this type of series, but as Pastor Jason gave me chapter 4 of Nehemiah, which is the book that we're studying, it's the first thing that came to my mind, and I'm like, man, I've kind of been working on something like this. It's going to fit in. Is there any sports fans in here? Okay, this is a sports town, right? How about Cowboys fans? Okay, you Cowboy fans can now be released from service, and thank you. We'll see you next week. And right. Okay, so I am not a Cowboys fan, if you knew that, okay? And so but listen, there was a story of a guy who a football player, a big rugged linebacker who got an interception and ran it in for a touchdown, right? And when he got to the touchdown, he scored the touchdown, and he's yelling, he's like, "I'm the greatest, I'm the best." You know, he's yelling to everybody, letting everybody know that he scored this touchdown, that he's the greatest. But then there's another side to that story. On the opposing team, on a kickoff return right after that touchdown, the kick returner gets the ball, runs it back for a touchdown, and very quietly he says, "Thank you, God." And I think that's who Nehemiah is. Nehemiah is someone who understood and who had a burden for his city, who wanted to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. And he endured a lot of flack and a lot of hassle, which we're going to talk about today. Nehemiah, who was a cupbearer to the king, who we know that's not a cool job, right? That's the one that if they're trying to poison the king, the cupbearer tastes it first and he dies, right? And so that's never a good job. I'm glad Pastor Jason doesn't have me do that on Sunday mornings, right? But so that was kind of the, you know, as I got to thinking about this message and who Nehemiah was. And chapter 4, Nehemiah endures with Sanballat. He endures some haters, right? And so I have a video that I'm going to show you guys that was actually the starting point to this message. So we'll watch this quick video. I don't know how many 49er fans there are in here, but anyway, you know, this video, when I first saw this video, reminded me of when I first got saved, when I first gave my heart to God. Because how many, there's a term young people use in the youth group will probably yell. It's called haters gonna hate. How many have ever heard that expression before? Right, exactly, okay. So haters gonna hate, which means anybody that has something negative to say about you is gonna hate on you, right? They're always gonna find a way to talk about it. So when I saw this video, it really got me thinking about how, when I first got saved, the things that people would say about you. He's going to fail. He's never going to make it. He's going to fall back to his old ways. How many have ever heard those things before by people, right? There's certain people in this world that can't wait to see you fail, right? They can't wait so that they can say, oh, see, I told you he was a Christian, right? And we see it all over the media and all over the news. Every time a Christian messes up, it's a big old thing, right? And so same thing here. They hold up pictures when he got arrested. And same thing with me when I first got saved and I got out of jail and we started going to church and everyone's like, even my family was like, you'll turn back to your old ways. You know, you'll just go back to the things that you used to do and be greedy and all these different things. And so, you know, those type of things, they hurt, right? As Christians, they hurt because here we are, we give our life to God, and we think, you know, we're going to try to live the best life that we can for God. And everybody wants to come in and hate on you, right? Well, this is the same thing that Nehemiah endured. And how many know when you live a life that is pleasing to God, you are going to endure some haters, right? You are going to have, if you do something for God and you have a plan, you have a mission for God, you will endure some haters. And there's going to be some people that will say it'll never work and you're going to fail. And so today, for a simple topic, we're going to speak haters going to hate. Lean to your neighbor, tell them haters going to hate. That was the wrong neighbor. Tell your other one. Now lean to your neighbor and say, give me $50. Anybody get any money? If so, put it on the pledge card. Amen? All right. So if you have your Bibles, open it up to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. If you have the tree version or the e-version, it doesn't matter. It's this morning. Just as long as you have your Bible this morning. Nehemiah chapter 4. Let's pray before we go into God's word. God, we love you and we thank you, God. Lord, just thank you for letting us have a good time in your word this morning, God. Lord, speak to our hearts, God. Lord, for we know we are imperfect people, but we serve a perfect God. Lord, this morning, Lord, as we start to think and process on how we have haters in our lives, God, Lord, we pray for those people today, God, for their hearts to be changed, Lord. Lord, if there's anybody in here that has not received your name, God, I pray today, Lord, that we accept you as our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' mighty name, and all of God's people said, amen. All right, verse 1. Now, when Sanballat heard that they were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged. So here I introduce the hater right off the bat. Sanballat is the hater, right? So here Nehemiah is trying to do something for God. And very first thing in chapter 4, Sanballat is mad because he's doing something for God. And so verse 2, and he jeered the Jews and he said in their presence of their brothers of the army of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? I want everybody to just say restore. Will they sacrifice? So there's all these people around, and Sanballat is teasing Nehemiah in front of everyone else. I know when I first got saved back in TRC, and I'd go and talk to some of my friends, and there was a group of friends. It seems like the more people that were around, the more that they harassed you, right? The more, like if it was just one-on-one friend, it wouldn't be that bad. But when more people got around, it almost hurt. So they're speaking negative. They're always trying to say, you're not going to make it. You're going to fail. You're not going to be restored, and you're just going to fall back into all these ways that you used to do. It's almost like this video, right? It's like fans, like cheering. You said when the Cowboys, they don't score that many touchdowns, but other teams in football, they do. And so what happens is right, when one person cheers, it's like everybody cheers, right? But like, and so it's like the more people that cheer, the more excited we get. Just like in praise and worship, it's like you look to your neighbor and they're worshiping, you're like, all right, I'm going to clap my hands too, right? It's like the more people that are around, it almost provokes us to join in what they're doing, right? And so this is what's happening in Nehemiah, and Sanballat and all his homies and all his crew are like, they're teasing him, right? And so here we go. Will they finish up today? This is what Sanballat's saying. Will they finish up today? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burn ones at that? Verse 3, Tobiah an Ammonite was beside him and said, yes, they are rebuilding. If a fox goes up that wall, it will break it down. Their stone wall. You know, so a fox is like a very light animal, right? So they're saying that even what they've built, it cannot sustain what a fox could do, right? And so what they're saying in this is the work that they're doing for God is not good enough. There's no foundation to it. It's so weak that even a fox was to walk on it, it would topple over, right? Same thing. How many have been walking, trying to live a life for Jesus, and they think your foundation isn't strong? And they say, you know, just any little thing is going to set them off, right? Just tempt them with one thing and they'll fall over. Tempt them with this thing and they'll go back to their old ways, right? Am I the only one that's ever done that before? Okay, all right, good, because you guys are looking at me like I weigh 300 pounds. I weigh 300 pounds. Okay, all right, so we'll get through this together. All right, thank you. I'm glad Mitch is here. Mitch is always excited and he's good. But, you know, there's a time of worship that I love, and as we go into this next verse, this is probably my favorite verse in the entire chapter, because here they are trying to come against Nehemiah with these words, right? And they're trying to hate on him and trying to say he's not going to make it, but how many know what the enemy has tried to form against you, right? It will not prosper, right? And so here, Nehemiah, they're still moving. They're still going to work, right? And they're going to continue moving forward. And so these haters, they always want to be all up in your business, right? They always think that they know best. They see you building, or they see Nehemiah building this wall, and they're like, it's never going to work. It's never going to work. You know, even if a fox was to walk on it, it's going to topple over, right? But while the haters are hating, I like how Nehemiah, regardless, even while the haters are hating, he's still praising Jesus. And while the haters are hating, he's still singing songs to his Savior, right? He's not just standing on the premises, but he's standing on the promises of God. That's a tweetable moment. And so God, here they are, they're hating on him, but he still wants to praise God. He turns to God and he says, God, here I am, right? I want to pray to my God. Now, I hear all of you yell when I said, who's a sports fan? We got yelled and we were so excited, right? But when we mention praise, do we get as excited? Do we get as excited when it's time to pray God or pray to God, and we're suffering against this situation, or our haters are coming against us and they tell us that we're not going to make it? Do we turn and we pray to God? It reminds me of a story in 1 Samuel of David. He went off and he was doing God's work, right? He went off to battle and they came back and the Amalekites had burned their land and burned their homes with fire. And so here they are, and all of David's men are upset because they stole their wives and their PlayStation 4s and everything that they took, right? And so they took everything, and so even the people that were closest to David spoke of stoning David, of hitting him with rocks. They wanted to hurt him, right? I know that there's a lot of people in here. I said earlier, even my family was some of the toughest critics on me. The people that are closest to us, when the trouble comes, they want to hurt us. Or when something doesn't look right to them, they want to speak harm to us. And so we pick up in verse 4 here. And I love that Nehemiah turns to God. And I know that even in the midst of being teased and being made fun of about their wall that they're building, Nehemiah still turns to God. In verse 4, hear, O God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads. I love this prayer. And give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt, and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight. For they have provoked you in anger in the presence of the builders. Has anybody ever prayed like this prayer, which is like, God, let's turn it back on them, right? Like, let it fall on their heads. Am I the only one? Okay, all right, because I know that I've said some prayers like that before, right? So, and Nehemiah did it, so I'm thinking it's good, right? And so... So in the midst of the trial, and he felt discouraged. Back to that story about David. I love how the New King James Version says it. When David was suffering through this, and all of his friends and soldiers were speaking of hurting him, the scripture says that he inquired with his Lord, his God. And I love that word inquire. What that means is to pray to God. So in the midst of this trouble, in the midst of these haters coming against him, he turned to God, and he prayed to God. It wasn't just, oh, God, please help me, right? But it was a prayer that came from his heart, and that's what I'm saying to you this morning. Our praise and our worship has to be our weapon against the enemy, right? This morning, as we're praying and we're praising and we're worshiping and we're yelling and we're shouting, can you imagine the enemy shaking in his boots? He's like, oh, my God. Look at Harvest Fellowship. They are up and they are worshiping God. Man, I better throw some distractions in their way. The microphone, right? I mean, here we go. I mean, let's be real here, right? Things like that will distract us from what our mission and what our goal is this morning. And so I love how Nehemiah praised God. He turned to God in this troubled time, and he offered up a prayer. Now, his choice of prayer, that's his own deal, right? But what I'm saying is that when the haters come against you, are we praying for them? Are we praying against them? And we should be praying for them, right? So that maybe pray for a change of heart in their own heart. Thank you, Mitch. You're awesome, man. I love this guy. And so our praise, sometimes I hear people say in worship, I'm like, man, how come you're not worshiping? You know, like when I was in youth group, I'd ask our students, how come you're not worshiping? And I'd be like, well, I can't really sing. And I said, well, tell me in the Bible where it says that you have to be able to sing in a key of C or a key of F or E, or I'm not a musician, whatever those are, right? And it doesn't say, the Bible doesn't say make a joyful noise make a joyful song or a joyful harmony, right? It says make a joyful noise. You never know. Our voice could sound like angels in heaven, right? Those of us that don't sing that well. All right, I can get an amen from those that don't sing that well. And so, right? Man, I love it. You know, there's times where we come to church and we're feel down from the week, right? But we feel like, man, I'm going to church. I'm going to expect something from God. Or maybe we come to church and we're like, maybe I'll just hope I feel better. Or, you know what, I have to go to church because it's Sunday. You know, whatever, however you deal with those things in your life. But I know that praise and worship can literally turn things around for you. I mean, as we get to worshiping God, it seems like all these things disappear, right? It seems like even for a moment, those things, those worries, we find peace in worshiping. We find peace in singing songs to our God. And I think that's such a mighty thing. I think that it is a weapon to be used against the enemy, and that is praise and worship. And I love it, I love it, I love it, and I love singing. And we're going to do one thing about me is I like to preach for about 20 minutes, and I love to do altar call for about an hour. So y'all get ready, right? Because I love it, because I think it's so important for us to be able to respond. There is something about when that time to respond, and God tugs on our heartstrings, and because we know that we want change, right? Those of you that raised your hands that came in here expecting something from God, I'm going to challenge you to start preparing your heart right now as we get ready to deal with these haters in our lives, right? So we pick up back in verse 6. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had mind to work. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls, everybody say repairing. So we said restore earlier, and now we said repairing, okay? Those are two key words we're going to focus on here in just a second. Repairing the walls of Jerusalem were going forward, and that the branches were beginning to be closed. They were very angry. This repairing, this word repairing means healed, being healed, right? So what they're saying is that once something that was broken is now becoming healed. Okay, so in my life, my marriage, I'm going to be honest with you, my wife is right here, our marriage was broken. Okay, I was an idiot. I wouldn't pay attention to her. I wouldn't pay attention to my kids. But through time, because I was faithful and prayed to God, God now started to repair our marriage, right? God started to repair something that was once broken, the wall of Jerusalem, our marriage, right? My relationship with my kids, my relationship with my family, things that I have done wrong, God started to repair those things and restore those things. And so this morning, I'm asking you, how many of you need repairing? How many of you need restoring? And it may be something you're like, nah, I already got past that. But there comes a moment where deep down in your heart, you know that it needs healing. And we serve a God that will heal. We serve a God that will restore and rebuild those walls around your heart, right, so to speak. And so, yeah, thank you. Yeah, and so even you know, the haters are going to hate when God starts to restore, right? I remember one of the greatest, can I just be honest with you guys? That's how I roll. So one of the greatest moments in our marriage and when God was healing these things together, because I know by the grace of God, my wife was praying for me while I was locked up and while I was spending time behind bars, and she would come and visit me. And I know that she was praying for God to change me and to restore us, right? And one of the greatest moments in our marriage is I used to lie to my wife about everything. I'd tell her that the sky was green just to lie to her, right? For whatever reason, and I'm not saying that boastfully, I'm saying that because I was an idiot. And so I used to lie to her for anything. One of the greatest moments in our marriage is when I came to her, and I remember she was packing her stuff to leave me. This is no joke. She was going to leave me. And I'm like, I came home and I went into the bedroom and I shut the door and I locked the door. And I said, I want to be honest with you. And I laid everything out on the table that I've ever lied about. Everything that would ever hinder our relationship from going forward. I took the words out of the haters' mouths that were trying to ruin our marriage. I instead went to my wife and said, here's what happened. Here's what I did. And God honored that, took that, and restored. I haven't argued with my wife in like 3.5 years. I think I'm going to argue with her today. Just to, right? Because God literally started to repair and to restore something that was once broken because I humbled myself. Because we humble ourselves, God will heal and restore those areas of our heart. We all have dealt with something. If you have never dealt with something in your life, raise your hand, because I know there isn't anybody in here who hasn't dealt with something that you need God and only God can restore and repair. I know that there's marriages here that need repairing. There's homes that need repairing. There's finances that need repairing. There's health, and there's young people that you want your child to be saved and you want them to be restored. And we serve a God who can do that, because I'm right here to stand as living proof that He does that, and He still does that. It's not just stories in the Bible. It's not just things that we hear in cool stories at kids' church, but it is amazing, because we serve a mighty and powerful God, and the Holy Spirit has taken over, and I haven't even got to my notes yet. That's how we roll, though. I love it. Let's pick back up. The haters hate when God is healing you. Can I get, man, that's just so good. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And when it prayed to our God and set a guard as high protection against them day and night. When you start to heal and when you start to restore, that's when the haters come even harder at you. And they want to remind you, right? We all have those people. Remember when we used to do this? Man, I had to like cancel so many people off of Facebook and stuff like that, because I don't want to see that stuff anymore, right? I'm trying to live a life that's pleasing to God. I don't want to see, and I remember I posted this scripture one time. I was maybe saved about 6 or 7 months. And I posted this scripture because, you know, when you first get out of jail, everything is holy. I don't know if you, and so, okay, all right. You guys might get that joke on Tuesday. And so anyway, I posted this scripture, and it's like first thing I did, like 5 people, like, why are you posting all this God stuff, man? Like, just like a few weeks ago, you were doing drugs, and now you're over here trying to post all this God stuff, you know? And my response was simple, and I just said, I'm trying to change. That's it. I'm trying to change. I wasn't changed right away, because even 6 months, I was still being stupid, but I was doing better, right? And so that's just me being honest with you guys. And sometimes I do that too much. Okay, verse 10. In Judah, it was said that the strength of those who bear burdens is failing. There is too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. I love how he says that. So many times, when we first give our hearts to God, or even in the midst, we've been saved for 40 and 50 years. I know there's some people in here that have been saved for that long. There's times where we want to try and do things on our own. We want to rebuild it by ourselves, right? We know better than God in this situation or whatever that we're dealing with. And here, I love how it says, Nehemiah says, we cannot build this alone, right? Now, he may be talking about getting a city together, but I'm taking it as we need God to be able to restore and repair our lives and our marriages and our health and the things that we're... My back don't even hurt anymore. I threw out my back this week, and I just realized I'm not limping right now. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that's awesome. Sometimes I chase... Sorry, Pastor Jason, if you're watching, just chased a rabbit. I won't do that again. All right, but we want to do things on our own, right? Because sometimes it seems easier that way because we think, man, I can get through this. I know what's best for me, right? But God has a perfect plan for us. Let's pick that up. At the time, the Jews who were lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, you must return to us. So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall and in the open places, I stationed people by their clans. So here, a whole community came together. Okay, and so this is what I love, and this is what I see at Harvest, right? We come together. When one person is hurt, we come together. Pastor Micah said something earlier, we are family here. I truly believe that. When we first stepped, I came to church here about a year ago, just visiting, and I said, this is a church that is like family, right? And now I'm part of the family. Thank you guys for adopting me. And so in the lowest places of space behind the wall and open places, I stationed people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And they were ready to do battle, right? They were ready to protect Nehemiah and the group while they were rebuilding the wall. And I looked and aroused and said to the nobles and to the officials, to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Wow, man. And we're not even halfway through the chapter yet, but check it out. Do not be afraid of them. Man, I know so many times I was so afraid to say that I love Jesus because it wasn't the cool thing to do, right? It was like I would want to go around my old friends and be like, Clyde, what are you doing? Been up to? She's like, man, I've been going to Bible study. I've been going to Wednesday night group, Sunday night group, Monday night group, right? Because when you first get saved, you want to do all those things, right? And so I know, and that's the thing about it. Sometimes as we get further along down our walk, it's like, yeah, I went to church on Sunday. I probably don't have to go on Wednesday, right? But when you first get saved, man, you cannot get enough of Jesus, right? You want to get more of him. You want to praise more of him. You want to spend more time around him. You want to read his word. You're carrying your Bible around. That's what I challenge you guys to do. Man, be a radical believer, right? That's who we want to be. When we're in this city and we love our city, that's how I believe we do it. We love him with the word of God. And so all through all this time, Nehemiah, now at first he prayed against them. He's like, turn it back. I hope the stones fall on their heads and all these things like this, right? But as he goes and he tells his people, regardless of how Nehemiah feels, he tells his people, do not be afraid. So what Nehemiah did is he took them haters and he shook them off, right? How many of you ever heard that Taylor Swift song? All right, this is going to be funny. I'm going to have everyone stand to your feet, okay? All right, everybody stand to your feet. Young and old, don't be afraid because we're going to get this and we're going to all do it together. All right, so we saw in that video, right? We saw in that video where he was enduring haters and he put on his headphones. When I see that, this is when we turn to God. We can choose to listen to the haters and we can walk and everyone's talking. Everyone says you're not going to make it, or we can put these on. And so, as we're going to do, something really cool here, okay? When you hear this song, you're just going to go like this, okay? Everybody go like this. And we're just going to shake them haters off, okay? Because that's what we need to do today. And this is haters going to hate. So, we're going to play this song. So, think about it. Whenever you hear it and somebody tells you, I know when I first got saved, you're never going to be a pastor. So, what did I do? And then they tell you, you're never going to live a life for Jesus. And then they say, your family's never going to be restored. And then they say, your kids will never be saved. And your grandma's never going to get healed from cancer. and you're always going to be in poverty. That's how we do it. We shake the haters off, right? We have to shake the haters off. So every time, I want everybody to get on iTunes, download Young and Old, even you elders in the back that are amazing, been serving Jesus for 50 years, go to your grandson and just go like that, okay? Because it's going to be awesome. Because I truly believe we all, yeah, y'all can grab a seat. We all have dealt with haters at one point in our lives, right? That's just a fun way to do it. And so, listen, but so many times we choose what we want to hear. We choose what we want to hear, right? Now, we can say, man, maybe I will never be a pastor. I mean, someone with a background like me, how are they ever going to let me through the door? We had my wife and I first got saved, and we're at a revival, and we're sitting, and this is a church of about 350, and we're kind of sitting in the back, and this evangelist comes and he starts prophesying, right? So all you people that have made a lot of mistakes in your life, you know, when they start prophesying, you start doing this, right? You're like, please, Lord, don't let them see me. And so we're sitting in the back and he starts prophesying to these people and prophesying here and he's like, you two in the back right there, stand up. And like the people in front of us stand up. I'm like, whew, dodge that one, right? And he's like, no, you two sit down, the two behind you. So my wife and I stand up, and I'm like shaking, like, oh, my God, he's going to tell everybody what I ever did. I'm like, I already told my wife all the lies. What is he going to do, right? And so, but what he does is he looks at us, and we're not in ministry yet. I've just barely been out for about 3 months. And he looks at us, and he says, you two will lead thousands of young people to Jesus. Wow. Yeah. And I'm like, huh? Like, how's that going to happen, right? And so from that moment on, we took it very serious that God had a calling on our lives, that no matter what my background was, no matter the things that I did, God was still able to use me and my wife for his glory. Yeah, amen. I mean, it was one of those things where about 6 months later, we became youth pastors with zero experience because that's how strong the calling of God on our life was. And God has slowly promoted us and taught us different things and surrounded us around great people like Pastor Jason and Pastor Lisa. And so that's how we ended up here. But through that time, let me tell you that I had to deal with a lot of haters, and I had to deal with a lot of people that would say you're not going to make it. A lot of people that said you're going to fail, right? And I keep saying these things because they stand out so heavy in my heart, because I remember coming home and crying to my wife, and I'd be like, I'm not going to make it. I am what they say I am. How will I ever be able to lead any young person to Jesus? I can't even get my own family right. But God, when God has a plan, it don't matter what you're capable of doing. It's what God can do through you. And God is so faithful with that. Man, I love that you guys shook it off. I think that's so cool. I told Pastor Jason, I said, I have no idea if they're going to receive this or not. They may say, never have Clyde speak again, right? But it's all good, man. So back in verse 15, and we're getting close to the end. I only got like 20 more pages of notes. And so verse 15, the work resumes, okay? And we're going to read through this quickly as we get ready to close so we can do our three-hour altar call. When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. Even in the midst of their troubles and all this, they shook it off and they returned back to what God had called them to do. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction, half held spears, shields, bows, coats of mail. Okay, I love this verse, coats of mail. Okay, let me tell you right now. They used this coats of mail. How many have ever heard of hate mail before? All right, okay. This is an actual scripture. I don't know if we have it, but it actually says coats of mail. What they do is they would use the mail to put it on their back so that the arrows wouldn't penetrate. Come on. That's prophecy if I've ever seen it right there. Okay, so here they put the mail that the haters are hating on to protect what the enemy's saying against them. So they use this. They use their own stuff to defend against them. And I love how they do that. So in one hand they have a spear or a bow, and then they have their coat of mail on the back. And the leader stood behind the whole house of Judah who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were located in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. Each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. We're going to stop right there because I want to focus on this real quick. In one hand, it says they had their weapon, and with the other hand, they're doing their work for God. Wow. For all you young people out there, let that be a work lesson for you, right? You can still do work and have something in your hand. I love how the city came together and continued the work for God, for their mission to build this wall. We heard several times in that last scripture that they had, in one hand they had their weapon, and the other hand they were doing the work of God. So today, I tell you, as you're doing that work, and you have to have your weapon to defend against the enemy. But with this hand, you can still do the work of God, and you can still do what God has planned for you in your life. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms." Listen, when we deal with haters, it's not necessarily the people, right? Because here the Bible says that our battle is not against flesh and blood. But how is the enemy using that person to hate against you? How is the enemy taking and using somebody from your past to remind you of your past? Or using somebody to tell you that you're not going to be able to recover from whatever sickness you're dealing with. But today, as the worship team, if we can get you guys back up here, we have one choice. Two choices, I guess. We can let the enemy have what he's taken from us, or we can take back what the enemy has stolen from us. That being our health, that being our family, our marriage, our kids, our loved ones who are lost and not serving God, we can take back what the enemy has stolen. I'm going to have everyone stand to your feet, and we're going to get ready for this altar call. Just start preparing your hearts. We can just have each individual person just start praying to God. Whatever it is that you're dealing with in your life, because we serve a God who is mighty, the living God. First, I want to ask if there's anybody in this building, young or old, who has never given their heart to God, who has never given your heart to God, and you say, "Today, I want to give my life to Jesus." If that's you, would you just raise your hand just so we can see you, so we can pray for you? Praise God. Or you may say, "Clyde, I gave my heart to God before, but I'm going to be honest this morning and say, I have not been living a life that is pleasing to God. I have not been living a life that I should be living." If that's you, would you raise your hand? If you raised your hand for that, would you mind coming up to the front? Because we have people that want to pray for you. Do not be embarrassed. Do not be ashamed, because this is a step in faith, of the first step of shaking off the haters. Thank you. Come on up. Yes. Yes. If we can get some of our prayer warriors to pray for these people. And I want you guys to remember something. I want you guys to remember this day of August 2nd, 2015, because this is the day that you should never forget for the rest of your life. This is the day that you rededicated your life to Jesus Christ and you said, "I'm tired of living a life that is unpleasing to you, God. I want to get it right. I want to do it right. We have the words of this song, and I'm going to ask everyone, please do not leave yet. Stay with us through this altar call, because I believe God is going to do some amazing things this morning. The words to this song are going to come up. Let's just all sing this song together. We're taking back what the enemy has stolen. Yes. Yes. Three lives this morning. Three lives this morning that the enemy had tried to take, but we reclaimed them in the name of Jesus. Yes, God. You are mighty in this place, God. This next call, I'm going to ask. We can just get it down just a little bit. I was very honest with you guys about struggles that I had in my marriage, struggles that I had in personal life stuff. So I'm going to ask every person in here to be honest, not just with me, but with yourself and with God. The enemy tried to take something from me and my wife and take something from me, but we took it back. So this morning, I want to pray for all of those that have the enemy has tried to creep in and take something from you. It could be your marriage. It could be your finances. It could be your health. It could be your loved ones who are not saved. It could be your husband who's not here. It could be your wife who's not here. This morning, we are declaring victory. And we will not stop until we get it. So, yes, thank you, Jesus. Lord, before they answer this altar call, Lord, I pray for their hearts, God. Lord, that you will minister to them as they move forward and they step forward in faith, God. Lord, that we do not have to pretend we are perfect. Lord, we may be broken. We may be cracked. But we know that you can repair and restore. Thank you, Jesus. Those that want to answer this, please come forward. Let us pray with you. We have prayer warriors. We will not leave till each person is prayed with. It's only going to take one person to come forward, and the rest will follow. I promise you. If you're praying for that, come up here to the altar, face this way, and let's pray. Do not be embarrassed. Do not be ashamed. Because this morning is going to be a morning that we will never forget. Yes, God. We take back what the enemy has stolen. Yes, God. Through your victory, Lord. We're taken back today, God. We serve notice to the enemy. Yes, God. Yes.
Victory. I can finally see. I'm taking back what is going on.
Yes. Do not be afraid to come up here. You can feel God tugging on your heartstrings because you know there's something He's tried to take. And it may seem small, but I'm praying today that we step forward and serve notice to the enemy that he no longer has anything to do with this part of our lives. God, you are awesome.
Can finally see I'm taking back what the enemy
If you're not up here in the front and you're still in your seat, and the enemy has not tried to take something from you, that means we have something to praise Jesus about this morning. If we could all raise our hands to God and just start thanking Him for everything that He's doing in this city, God. Yes, if you don't have something to praise Jesus about, look to your neighbor and ask them what they're praising Jesus for and praise with them.